Are you glad you're a part? I'm glad I'm a part tonight. I am glad and thankful that I can call you brother and sister. All right? Sometimes, you know, you get in the world and they hear you talking like that, and they look at you like you've got three heads, and they don't understand. They don't understand the fellowship that we're allowed to have in Christ and all that He is. All right, we've got Colossians chapter 3. You need a paper. Anybody need a paper tonight? If you didn't get a paper, we got some hands up. If I can get somebody back there, Tom and Jonathan, maybe somebody there to help you there. Hold your hand up. We'll get you a paper, okay? It should say on the top, Colossians 3, 12 through 21. That's what it ought to say. All right. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 21. That's what your paper should say. If you need one from the other week, we have some back there. We can get you one from last week or a couple weeks ago. And so you can have it if you would want one later on after service is over. What we're looking at our part of salvation. That would be an easy way to say it. There are some parts that the Lord Jesus does that we have no part in. We believe on Him, but He does the changing. He washes our sins away. He writes our name down. He brings us into the family. He justifies us. He sets us apart, sanctifies us. Someday He'll glorify us, and we'll be like He wants us to be. All the rough edges will be gone, and that'll be a wonderful time when that takes place. But then there's some parts that He wants us to do that has nothing to do to be saved, but it's because we are saved. And always remember there's terminology that we need to think about in order to or because of. In order to be saved, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are saved, then we must treat one another the way the Bible says. Everybody understand that? In order to be saved, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's it. That's all it takes to be saved, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But because we're saved, then we're to treat one another like we want to be treated. But we treat one another, we love one another as Christ has loved us. Now, some people say, well, I treat people the way I want to be treated. Well, you don't think much of yourself. But if we treat one another the way the Lord treats us, then that's entirely on a different level, ain't it? Huh? And that's our example. Can I tell you that I am to be your example, but Christ is our true example. I think that we can find scripture that will tell us we are to be examples one to another even, and building up one another in the holy faith, helping one another, edifying the body. But when it comes to being an example, we're going to have to look at the one who's perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus. And we'll let Him be the standard. Please don't let me be your standard, because we'll both end up over in a ditch. We will, sure enough. And that ain't what we need to do. We need to follow Christ, okay? Everybody got a paper? Everybody okay? All right. Well, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come this evening. You're most wonderful to us, and we see it more and more every day. We see Your hand upon the lives of the people in this church. Lord, I see Your hand upon my own life, and I thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for Your grace and mercy. Lord, our hearts has been turned toward the Sanford family for months now, and even now it's at its peak as we understand that though we grieve, heaven rejoices, and Charlie rejoices. Lord, help us to long for the day that we get to be together again. Encourage Rose. I'm asking all the family. But Lord, I pray that through all this, that You the one will be magnified. Lord, Charlie done his best to magnify You all the years I knew him. And as far as I know, there wasn't nobody he loved like he loved you. And Lord, I pray that You would help us remember that and take some advice that he would give, just to trust this old blessed book and talk to you and live right. Lord, I pray that we might do that very thing. Now, Lord, help us as we read your word this evening. Help us to be like you and like you say for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. We're going to pick up on verse 12. All right, but I'm going to read down through verse 12 to get our minds back on everything. Is everybody okay with that? Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. Now, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to part of the body. Remember, we're the body. If you're saved tonight, you're part of one body. There's only one body. And the part of the body of Christ that we see here tonight is assembling in this local place, but we're still part of anybody in the world who's believed on the Lord Jesus in the past or right now. We are part of one body in Christ, all saved the same way by the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in Him, and we're part of one body. Don't never forget that. You're no better than me. I'm no better than you. We have different jobs, but we're not no better than the other, and there's not one less necessary. Everybody is necessary, all right? Now, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to repent of your sins and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to turn from the way you're going. Turn to Christ. Just turn to Him and place your faith in Him, and He will save you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and He will save you just like He did us. And you need Jesus Christ. Now, since we're saved, chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5 then says, mortify. Now you see, this is our part. This is what we're to seek, we're to set. He is our life, okay? Now we're going to mortify. We're going to kill off. We're going to die daily. We're going to be crucified with Christ. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now I want to remind you that them things there in verse 5, if we continue that way, that we're acting like the people's not saved. But we're not that way no more. We're new creatures. Now look at verse 8. But now, ye also put off. Everybody sees the verbs here, sees action verbs. Seek, set, mortify, now put off. You take off that old clothes, them clothes that you were clothing yourself in of wrongness and worldliness and acting like a heathen. You take that off, and then we're going to look about putting something on in a minute. Look here, it says, but now you also put off all these. Anger, that's what you hold in. Wrath, what you let out. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not. Every time I read this, I think this. Why would the Apostle Paul tell church people not to lie? Why? Because we lie. That's right. That's why. That's why he tells church people you shouldn't be lying because we be lying. Ain't that shameful? Huh? And then we say we don't. Well, he said we did. Everybody okay? Because that always rubs me wrong. Because I don't like a lie. I don't want anybody to lie to me. And I find myself, I lie to God all the time. God, you do this, I'll do that. God, you bring this, and I'll do this. He does his part, and I don't know if I ever do my part. Amen, preacher. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge of, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all. Now, I just want everybody to understand. Everybody look at me. Ain't nobody no different than others. So don't say you can't. Don't say you ain't able to. Don't say you ain't got no strength. Can I tell you, ain't none of us can do it in our own strength. We can only do it through the Lord. It's the Christ in me, hope of glory. And I cannot live the Christian life on Mark's strength. I can only live the Christian life in Christ's strength. Everybody understand that? I didn't save me. He saved me. All right? I've got to live, for Christ is my life. Now, but he gives me the ability. We done read over in Peter where he done give me everything that I need to live a godly life. And then he told me after he gave me that, I could add to it faith and virtue and other things. I can even build it up stronger. Okay? Everybody with me? Talk to me. Now we get down to verse 12. Now we're going to put something on. Now, take off them old rags, them old bad stuff. Now we're going to put on some stuff. All right, now, when we get in verse 12 and 13, now we're going to get right down where we live at. All right, I thought it was so fitting that we hit this right at youth camp. All right, right when we got everybody working together, this is where we need it the most. Amen, preacher. All right, let's look at verse 12. All right. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We're going to stop right there and see how far we can get now in the next little bit. Let's go back to verse 12. Now it says, put on. Now remember, keep this in your mind that this is action. You take off. You got to mentally choose or mentally make the effort to take off and to put on. Does everybody follow me? The Lord ain't going to do it for you. The Lord ain't going to make you live right. He ain't going to make you. Now, He gives you everything that's necessary, but He ain't going to make you. Now, you're not going to fall in love with Him and live like hell and the devil. That ain't going to happen. There'll be a desire in your heart that you may slide all over the rock, all right? But you ain't going to get off that rock. Everybody understand that salvation, Christ is our solid rock, all right? Now listen to me. I may not always walk as there's times I get sideways. All right? There's times we all get sideways. If nothing else, in my mind. I get messed up in my mind. If I ain't careful, then it'll come out my mouth. If I ain't careful, then it'll come through my hands, my feet. Huh? I get all messed up. All right? So I need to stop it. So I got to mentally, in my heart, spiritually, I got to take off. What are we going to take off? We're going to take off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. We're going to put off that. Well, has anybody got any problem? Anybody here want to keep all that? And nobody that's going to want to live for the Lord is going to want to keep that. So take it off. Don't wear it. Don't wear it. All right? I tell you how we are, though. We wear what we want to wear. Cheryl's granddaddy was a character. And big sense of humor. And one day he came through the house. He had on bright green breeches and a dark red shirt, maroon-looking shirt. Looked horrible. Granny Ruth said, they were getting ready to go to town. Come to town and eat, and they were going to knock around town and said, Bud, you don't want to wear that. That don't go together. He said, it goes together today. it goes together today. You know why? Because that's what he wasn't going to change. He didn't pay no mind whether it matters or not. He didn't care, just like you're going to go mow grass. He could have cared less. That's how we live our life a lot of time. We could care less. And then when it's brought to our attention, well, it goes together today. I'm not changing. You hearing me? You ever get your nose up in the air and say you ain't changing to the Lord? When you know you ain't right and you're just going to go ahead and be wrong anyhow? Now, if you're going to, remember, lie not one to another. We get that way. You know, how come we get that way? Because we can't do it by ourselves. That's why we're supposed to have the Word of God in us daily, and we're supposed to be depending upon the Word of God and the ways of God, because we can't. Is everybody okay? People say, well, you're going to preach all this and you want everybody to be perfect. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Want us to be exactly like God said we could be if we would be. Is everybody following me? We can do this if we'll do it. And can I tell you, if we do this, everybody get along a whole lot better. There wouldn't be no problem down the house. What Brother Rick told us ever since I knowed him, Brother Rick said, no fussing loud. Down his house, him. Now, I don't know. I've never been there when they've been by themselves. If I'm there, they're not by themselves. Right? But when I'm there, there's no fussing loud. When the kids are there, there's no fussing loud. When the grandkids are there, there's no fussing loud. It just ain't loud, is it? It ain't loud. Huh? And can I tell you, that's the way it ought to be in our family?
Amen.
In the family here, ain't no fussing loud. Everybody with me? No fussing loud. So we're going to have to put on some, we're going to put on the good clothes. So what are we going to do? Put on the clothes that we're going to wear these, you know? We're going to see this requires our action, a command, if you would. And God ain't going to do it. We're going to do it. Then it says mercy. It says put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Remember, we are the elect of God. We are the elect. We are God's prized possession. He purchased us with His blood. Think about that. We are a prized possession. We're not junk. Everybody hear me? You may be unworthy, but you're not worthless. You may be unworthy and don't feel like you're worth a hill of beans. But can I tell you, you're not worthless because God paid the ultimate price of His blood to run down Calvary, and there was nothing any greater, and He paid it for you. So don't never call yourself worthless, because that ain't right. That's a devil's lie. All right? It's a devil's lie. It says, put on therefore as elected God, holy. But remember, you're holy. You're holy. There's something in you. If you're saved tonight, there's something in you that's holy. It's Him, Christ in you, hope of glory. The holy God lives inside of you. Think about that. All right? And it says, and beloved, I go back to Ephesians, and it says that we are accepted in the beloved. Is that not what it says? Chapter 1. Remember, Colossians and Ephesians go together. Everybody follow me? Ephesians chapter 1 says you're accepted in the beloved. We're bought with a price. The blood of Christ. All these things goes together. Follow me. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Now look at what it says. Bowels of mercies. Now that's an odd way to say it, ain't it? But the bowels were considered the seat of the emotion in Bible times, in old times. All right? Remember me telling you about Paris Reedhead. He went to Africa on a mission trip back in the 40s, 1940s. And went to some of them places over there. They had never seen a white man. He went over there and took the gospel. And he thought he was going over to a bunch of heathen, but they were a lot smarter than he thought he was. He didn't think they ever heard the gospel or anything. And he got to Tony trying to explain to him about sin. And as he was talking to an interpreter, he said, any of you a murderer? And everybody just stood there, and one fellow raised his hand and said, he is. You know, he told on his buddy. They understood real quick, and he went on, he was talking about some of that fornication and stuff, and they started pointing their fingers, and they said, how do you know that that's wrong? And they said, my stomach told me. That's what they told the preacher. He said, my stomach told me. He said, your stomach. And that's how they viewed it. It was his heart. The Lord had done spoke to him, told him where they were wrong. But he said, my stomach had told me. And that's what this is talking about. That's the seat. That's how they was explaining it. Bowels of mercies. Are we okay? Everybody follow me. Now, in this bowels of mercies, now, this is what you're supposed to put on. It's an eternal empathy. Do you know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Talk to me. Do you know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is, well, I feel sorry for you. That's sympathy. Empathy is, I understand because I've been there. Now, we're so apt to have sympathy. I feel sorry for you. You ain't like me. But empathy is, we're in the same shape. We put on the britches the same way everybody else does. Empathy. Are we together? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, it says to put this on. Now, it's heartfelt love. It's what he's trying to get us to see that we, because he's going to talk about our relationship here. Does everybody follow me? Put on. Now, why is he so bent on our relationship? Well, can I tell you that 59 verses in the New Testament, 59 verses is written out on our relationship one with another. That's a lot of verses to tell me and you we ought to be getting along. Huh? Can I tell you that 32 of them are going to tell me God love you? 32 of them verses, it's going to tell me I'm going to have to love you. Everybody follow me? We still okay? Three times this, or 13 times it's going to come right now to say love one another. It's just going to come right flat out and tell you love one another. That's a lot, ain't it? See, if he tells you once, it's true. Right? If he keeps telling you, he's trying to get it in your head. I told you it's true. I told you it's true. I told you it's true. Are we okay? Like, it's like, you know, how we talk to ourselves. You know? That's why we all got that flat place on our head, because we all talking to me. So I have a time doing that. You follow me? Listen to me now. This is serious here. This mercy, the bowels of mercy, the being kind one to another, it involves caring for others, bearing their burdens, valuing them above ourselves. Mercy always, listen to me now, mercy always holds back what is deserved in punishment. Somebody crossed you, and they may deserve to be hung by their ears so the crows can pick their eyeballs out. All right? But mercy will say, no, not today. Everybody with me? Mercy don't with their mouth. Mercy don't try to get the best and vengeance. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says Lord, I'll repay. It's not for us, mercy. And we're supposed to put on bowels of mercy. That the innermost part of us is going to have to be full of love and mercy and care, compassion, focusing on the need. Listen to me now. Bowels of mercies is going to focus on your needs, not your faults. What do you need? I already know what's wrong with you. You're just like me. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with every one of you. You're just exactly like your preacher. A wretch. On my best day, I'm a wretch. If the greatest Christian in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, the greatest, I don't know of anybody any greater Christian. Now, Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born a woman, but I don't know of a better example as a Christian than the Apostle Paul. And if he says, I'm a wretch, then I might as well figure I ain't that far yet. I'm not even that good. So why do I need to look at your faults? Huh? Why do I need to do that?
huh?
Why do I need to look at your mistakes? Why do I need to look at your shortcomings? Why can't I have bowels of mercies? Why do I have to look at where you're slack on? Why can't I look at where you're paused? You're here tonight. There's no need me growling you because you wasn't here last week. Why should I do that? You're here tonight. Are you following me? Talk to me now. Or is everybody understanding it? Now, this is what we got to choose to put on. The Lord ain't going to make us be a Christian. He'll save us. Huh? He'll save us. Yes, He will. But He's not going to make us live this way. But that's what His desire is. He said, you're going to walk with me, you're going to live that way. If you're going to walk with me, now this way you're going to live. Now, I saved you. But if you ain't going to walk with me, then we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem because there's going to be chastisement. You're going to go through some things you ain't going to have to go through. You're going to be wearing a bra. You're going to get skin up, cut up. You're going to fall and get hurt. But if you'll walk by me now, you're going to have to wear the same thing I'm wearing because we're in the family, the same family. Do you ever notice? There's only one family in here that does it that I've noticed. Maybe two. There's two families in here that does this. All right. At Easter time, there's two families in our church that all dress alike. Have y'all noticed them? How many noticed there's two families in our church that dress alike? Now, I may be wrong, but I know there's two, and that's Lindsay and Megan Collins and Greg and Maria Nicholas. They'll dress like the boys all wear the same shirt. Lexi will wear the same color dress. Megan and Lindsay, they all wear the same collars. And they're one family. Well, it'd be good maybe if we didn't make uniform requirement for church. Huh? We see them, well, they don't anymore. We used to see them in Christian school and they all wore a uniform. Maybe we ought to wear a uniform. How about we start putting on bowels of mercy? How about we all put that on? That we all might look alike. Have bowels of mercy, full of compassion and mercy, caring one for another and the things of one another. Is that okay? How about if we all dress like that? People say, hey, they're at one body up there. Yep. You know? Do you know, I always found it amazing that people on the same team dress alike. You know, I don't know about that. Now, I'm not dumb on sports. I'm not crazy over sports, but I know what goes on. Now, years ago, I was a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, and I understand that some of y'all ain't right with God, but I was a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. But you know, everybody on the Dallas Cowboys, they all wore the same uniform. Even the ones that sat on the bench and done nothing. They all wore the same uniform. Even the ones that did it. Used to be a diehard Cincinnati Red fan. I would stay up of a night because we didn't have no TV anyway. But I'd rate on the radio. I'd listen to on the radio a Cincinnati play ball way up in the night. They'd be playing on the West Coast, and I'd have that little radio at my bed. And I'd turn it up and I'd listen. But you know, I never seen Cincinnati wear a Pittsburgh uniform, and I was so glad because I didn't like anything in Pennsylvania. Steelers or Pirates either. Okay? But I never did. How come? Because it was an opposite team. We're not supposed to be wearing the clothes of the opposite team. We're supposed to take that off. See, we've been traded. We've been bought. They was purchased and we put on the team of the Lord Jesus and we're supposed to put on these clothes that others may know what side we're on. And maybe we get along. We okay? Everybody still okay? That was just bowels of mercy. That's a lot in mercy. How about we look at the next word in verse 12? How about kindness? Kindness is more than action. Can I tell you, kindness is a character. That's part of your character. You know, some people, it's like that old man, that old storekeeper on Andy Griffith, you know, and he said he was just going nasty away. You remember that old storekeeper on there? Him and Barney was talking, he said, you know, he's just going nasty away. You know, I see people like that, they're just going nasty away. They claim or say, I don't believe it myself. Of course, they're not going to prove to me anyway, but I just don't have much confidence in them. Y'all okay with that? Yeah, I just don't believe nasty people. It don't go with the thing. I've noticed a lot of nasty people in church. But I know a lot of nasty people go to the bar. Well, y'all quiet on this. See, kindness ain't just a feeling. All right, it involves actively doing good deeds. Actively doing good deeds. Offering assistance. Do you offer assistance to the rest of the body? You know, Cheryl laughs at me sometimes. I know you're supposed to be on here. It's been a while back. I got stuck on a stepladder. I got stuck on where I had the stroke. My left leg don't work. It don't bend. It don't raise but so far. And I went up the ladder. Well, if I don't come down right, then I'll fall off. But because my leg don't work. And I got a study about how to get my leg to go. And I pull it off and drop this bad leg down. And then I can bend the other one, you know. It looks like a clown going up and down the ladder. But think about this, all right? I have to actively study. Are you following what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Let's just go on. Let's look at some scripture here. Let's look at Micah chapter 6. Y'all know where Micah is at? It's in the old Bible. You know, we don't dwell on the scripture I'm teaching tonight. Well, has somebody come and find it for me? Well, we have to sing the song. It's all right. I got a brain fog here. All right, Micah 6:8. Everybody okay? I ain't. His kindness wearing me out. Huh? Tell you what I'm good at. I'm good at being sharp. I'm good at being sharp. I have trouble being kind. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. There's supposed to be some peace in that. John ain't helping much. Micah 6:8. He said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amazing, ain't it? How about Zechariah chapter 7? Everybody still with me? Hang with me now. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. It says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his what? How many? How many men? Every man to who? What are we going to show? Mercy and compassion. All right. Just want to make sure we all understood that verse. We okay? Well, I'm not. They quit lying. These verses are tight, ain't they? How about verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful. We got that part right. Be courteous. How about verse 9? Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, But contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. Could we say kindness is an attribute of God? Kindness is a character. Can you all agree with me that it's an attribute of God? Talk to me tonight. All right, we was talking good there a while ago. Let's talk about it now. How about Titus chapter 3? Titus chapter 3. Look what kindness shows. We okay? Titus chapter 3. Let's just read verse 3 here. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Verse 4 says, But after that, the what? The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Don't love one another like I love you. Love one another the way Christ loved us. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Now, look what we were. We got to take this off. It's what we were. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. We ain't supposed to be that way no more. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I just want you to understand tonight that kindness is more than just an action. It's a character. Being kind to one another involves caring for others, bearing their burdens, valuing them above ourselves. Huh? You know, how long has it been? Turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You can mark this with a pencil there. We'll probably have it somewhere back through there again. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's just read 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Is that not how we're supposed to be? Huh? Back to Colossians. We then looked at bowels of mercy's kindness. How about that humbleness of mind? That's again taking the low seat. That humbleness of our mind. That we take the low seat. That it becomes a normal action. That we take the low seat. Opposite of pride. Humbleness of mind is opposite of pride. I tell you, pride will work up in us to where we just think we're better. We just think we're better than somebody. You know, you ever say this? I don't know how they could do that. Anybody ever say that? Yeah. How can you do what you do? How come you don't look in the mirror and say, how can you do this? You look in the mirror and say, don't you look good? Huh? Are you following me tonight? I'm telling you that being a Christian, listen, it's wonderful to be saved. And everybody can be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Anybody that believes can have eternal life. But can I tell you, you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to be right with him after he saves you. And you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to put on some things and take off some things. And he's already given you the clothes to put on. It fits you. It's your size. It'll fit you perfect. It didn't cost you a dime. Right. And it's hanging in your wardrobe. And you got to make a choice every morning whether to put it on or take it off. And it's that simple. It's that simple. You got to decide whether or not to be a Christian.
See, there are some things that is required, and we don't realize it. I worked at the plant over for years, and they supplied our uniforms. I didn't have to pay for my uniform. They supplied our uniforms. You know why? Because the stuff we worked in was poison, and they didn't want us taking our own clothes and working in them and then taking the poison back to the house. So they supplied us. They supplied us a change room. They supplied us our clothes that we were supposed to put on and take off. And do you know how hard-headed we were? I ain't got time to go in there and change clothes and shower in there. I got work to do at home. I got to weed eat and work the garden this evening. So I'd wear my old poison clothes home. All the time. Then next thing you know, I'm not even wearing my uniform. I'm wearing my work pants and I'm wearing my own t-shirt. Wearing my own shirt. Wearing my own stuff. They come out and say, where's your uniform? Well, it's too hot. Okay. Suit yourself. When you get sick, maybe we just won't pay you for the days you miss. Because you didn't do. Does everybody follow me? You see how we do? See, it ain't just for the... We do that because we are not humble of mind. We're not kind. We don't have no bowels of mercy. I'm going to finish this verse here. Meekness. Kindness owns my meekness. How about that? That's not weakness. All right? Meekness is not weakness. All right? But it's gentle. Man, this is wearing me out. I don't know that I could be classified very gentle. Huh? Go ahead, everybody say, amen, preacher, we're with you. We understand. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. Huh? Because great peace have thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. You ain't going to offend me. But I have problem being gentle.
Amen.
I do. I have trouble. I want to be. I try to be. That's why it's rare you ever see me pick up a baby. It ain't because I don't like babies. It just... I may hurt them. Now, my boys were big enough. They was had work boots on, full set of teeth, eating ear corn when they were born. They was big. So it was easier. But some of these little tiny ones, some of these 7, 8 pounders, that's too small. I mean, mine was 10 pounds and better, you know. Is everybody still following me? I have problems being gentle and calm. See, I have problems. Sometimes I'm hard-headed. I'm not teachable. Are you teachable? Are you always teachable? Huh? Or are you a little thick between the ears like your preacher? Huh? Talk to me tonight. You a little thick between the ears, especially if you got a little age on you. See, a young kid thinks you know everything and an old one does. Right or wrong?
Right.
You know, 25-year-olds got 75 years experience on any job they do. You know, an old one, you couldn't tell them nothing. An old person, you ain't gonna tell them nothing. Yeah, just keep on doing the same thing, the same way all the time. Is that right or wrong? Where sometimes we're not very teachable. Okay? Now let's do this last one. We'll go home on this one. Long suffering. Long suffering. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. In temper. Dealing with people as a Christian, not like you're a heathen. Patient. You know, idiot. Huh? Got any of them in here? Huh? You know? Are we listening? How many times? And this again is my fault. A lot of what you do is my fault. I know that. How many times I've said idiot from the pulpit? Stupid, idiot. And I always say, well, if you quit being that way, I wouldn't call you that. See, I justify my sin.
Yeah, we do too.
Mm-hmm. See? Because sometimes we are stupid. Sometimes we are, and sometimes other people are too. But let them be what they want to be. Let's let them be what they want. Let's be long-suffering. Let's be long-suffering. See, there's no fussing loud. My papa, I love my papa. I thought he was a great man. I'll show you a good example of long-suffering. You know, we come from the generation that you didn't go buy something. If it broke, you fixed what you had because you didn't have no money to go buy something. So you made it, you fixed it, you worked on it. No matter what it was, you worked on it. Never forget, they talk about it. I didn't see it. It was just what they always talk about. BB was always helping Papa. When he got bigger, I replaced BB, and BB went on, you know. And they were working on a mixer. And Papa had been working on the switch. It was bad, replaced everything. He plugged it up, and he was putting the beaters in, and BB turned it on. And it was them old big heavy mixers before they had KitchenAid. These are the ones that you can mix concrete with. They was the good ones, you know. And it wrapped Papa's hands all up in that, they said. And he said, BB, you need to turn it on. Very calm. And BB was just watching it. You need to turn it off, BB. That's long suffering. Had that been me, and that would have been Marcus or Philip, I don't have to say another word. That's about the best illustration I can have. It's when you're all tied up in pain because of someone else, and you kindly say, turn it on. Father, sure do need your help to be what you want us to be. We sure love you. We do trust you. But Lord, I'm a wreck. I need help. Forgive me and help me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.